Bye. Welcome back to Videorama, where we take your request for a topic and give you our recommendations. We received a message from a woman who has an addiction to... No, we didn't. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That woman, she was addicted to something to do with her grandkids.
I think last I heard from her, she blasted her vagina off. sorry about that. Let me go back. We received a message from some old deteriorating lady who has a problem with those damn fool kids on her yard, and she wanted killer doll movies that were not, I guess they were lesser known. So no Puppet Master, or as we established last week, no movies with Charles Dance.
But he killed somebody and he did it on purpose.
But I am a doll.
Yes. No Charles Dance, no Charles Band. No Charles allowed. So I should give the warning now. There will be spoilers in this for the movie we're covering, and
there always are.
There have been similarities drawn between this movie and Squid Game. So if you're watching Squid Game, there may be spoilers for that too. So just a heads up.
There's also another manga like this was based on called Dance that also did similar too.
Wait, was it called Dance? Like Charles Dance?
Yes, it was called Dance Magic and it was by the Goblin King.
Yes! I knew it. So, with that, watashi wa dachiza desu.
Oh.
Or Linda.
Oh, is that some kind of language like they talk in the foreign country? Is that what that do?
So,
yeah. Oh. Oh, my name's Adrian, and I watched this movie from far away this week where they talk real funny.
Yes, Jeremy-san.
What that means, I don't know.
Matara desu, so desu matara.
I think it was from Russia or someplace. I don't know.
With love. And apparently we have a nightmare incarnate. Dan. What is your show?
I gotta turn my damn lights on. It's kinda dark in this lab.
Oh god.
I'm
hi.
Oh my biscuit.
What the hell is happening?
I don't know.
Are you I Dr. Jekyll?
My
I.
name is
Ivy.
I see you remember.
Is that comically large net for catching dolls that come to life?
No. It's my pair of pantyhose.
Oh.
yeah.
My guest today on Doctor to Doctor.
So, listeners, viewers, please see our future episode that's inevitable. The movie that fucked us up as kids. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde together again.
It inspired us to embrace man's bestial side.
That's true. Hi.
Chicken sushi. It's appropriate.
And we have a an employee from a different Videorama branch joining us today. Oh. Jody!
Hi, Joni.
Hello, I'm Jody. I'm secretly a magical girl who rides atop a velociraptor.
Oh. It's true.
That sounds like effort.
And I see it in the background. Clever girl.
Just don't move and you'll be fine. Don't speak her.
With that, I should say that Joni and I met at work, and she's my sister from another mister. I'm usually really, really super shy at work, but one time I was in the kitchen, and she was talking with some friends, and she said, "Sometimes dead as butter." So I was like, "Hi. I usually don't do this, but I think you're my sister from another mister, and I need to be friends with you."
She was a little intimidated at first, and then you had to tell her, "I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the church."
Something like that.
I just have one thing to say, Linda.
Yeah.
I fucking did it. Fucking did it.
We killed that fat barkeep.
I think of, like, I fucking did it. Like I gotta call AJ. I gotta call Joni. Joni chose our recommendation this week. Care to share?
So if you don't like this movie, you can blame me. That's totally fine. I'm cool with that. This movie is At the God's Will. That's the English translation. I'm not going to try the Japanese title because I'm still learning Japanese and I'm horrible at it right now. And it was directed by Takashi Miike. Many amazing films. A few of my favorites are One Missed Call, Zebra Man, The Happiness of the Katakuris, and also does fabulous anime adaptations and live action, such as Ace Attorney, and most recently, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I didn't know he did Ace Attorney.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That was an awesome one.
Ace Attorney movie is great.
Hold it!
Good on him for still getting work after originating in that weird straight-to-video craze back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being super infamous with stuff like Ichi the Killer.
Yes,
yeah. And, Audition.
So many movies. So if you've never heard of him, please look him up. There's sure to be some kind of movie there for you because he made pretty much any kind of movie you can think of.
He's on that sampler. He's on one of those Three Extremes movies, and his one was pretty much the only one worth checking out on it.
Mm. Yeah. He also made high praise with 13 Assassins.
Mm.
The man gets around. Yeah, he made his he made that gangster trilogy with the Rainy Dog and all that.
Not to be confused with the 13th Ghost.
He's kind of like Japan's Howard Hawks.
Oh, man.
He's super good.
So, As the God's Will is basically a death game movie. If you've never watched a death game movie before, the one that comes to most people's minds is Battle Royale, which really started the whole craze of death games, in which a classroom of students are literally thrown onto an island with weapons and they beat each other to death, and that's the movie. It's a little more complicated than that, but this is kind of the same concept. You're forced into a game in which the only way to win is to kill everyone else or be killed by participating in these really interesting games. And for this one in particular, it's interesting because each of them is themed after a different type of children's game, which if you're a fan of Squid Game, that's also similar to the premise in there. The ones in here are mostly focused on Japanese toys. So the five ones that they have in here are the Daruma.
Daruma!
There's this great little, I don't even know what you would call those. We don't really have a equivalent for it in America, but it's basically like a good luck charm. And the idea of it is that when you're going to accomplish something, you get one of these Daruma, and when you start off, they have both eyes blank. As you can see, I've filled in one eye here. When I have a goal that I want to reach, so I wrote my goal on the back. I want to finish my next game. And so when I started my game, I filled in one eye, and then when I complete it, I fill in the other eye. And then traditionally, every year on the new year, you bring your completed Daruma to the temple, and then they burn them for you. And so it's like an interesting little ritual. So,
and, he screams.
And he screams.
Well, they burn my Beatles records, too.
You know, revenge for all the times he's been burned, you know.
See, I didn't know that, because I have a giant Daruma on my fridge, but I thought that he was just like supposed to have one eye open for whatever reason. I didn't know that.
It's really fun. Very cool. So I love Daruma, and they're just like, they're a really great gift. Like, a lot of people will go to Japan, they'll bring some home for people, and the different colors mean things too, which is really fun. So if you're ever interested in that kind of thing, look them up. They're really fascinating.
Wow.
And so that's the first game, and it really opens up very strong in this movie.
Yeah.
Game. You're given absolutely no explanation to what's going on. People just literally start exploding into red marbles.
Like, girl has red marbles come out her vagina.
It wouldn't be a Mikke movie unless something came out of a vagina.
You away, then you'll probably enjoy this movie. That's like probably like the crux right there, is if you're you'll probably enjoy the rest of the movie. If you're not, turn away now, because it just gets worse.
You know, there's a posting on YouTube that claims to be As the Gods Will. It turns out it's another movie, but that one also has blood coming out of a vagina in like the first 10 seconds.
Interesting. But I love that it just like it starts off like putting you in the thick of things, like no explanation, no build up. It's just like, oh, we're doing this. OK,
it was from God, Linda. God.
God.
And if you just noted that God means something different to the Japanese.
The movie opens with our protagonist, Shun Takahata, and he's lamenting on how his life is so boring. And nothing ever happens. And, oh, God, please, please bring me something interesting to end the boring life that I live. And then he regrets it immediately because all this stuff starts happening.
He forgot that that's actually a curse. Yeah.
I told my husband that, like, it seemed like, because we were watching it together, I was saying it looked like a, in that part, it looks like a BTS music video. Falling leaves, and then some guy comes up with some like pop hairdo, like leaning against the balcony.
Yeah, honestly, it reminds me of one of my other favorite movies, Haosu, about the haunted house and the seven girls who go there, because it has a very opposite sort of feeling, where it's like, it's all happy-go-lucky, and then suddenly it just goes downhill, like
and
at night.
Suddenly someone gets bit in the ass. Oh, that movie is wonderful.
It's been on my list. Joni told me about it like a couple years ago, and it's been on my list ever since. But
yeah, it's another one if you get a chance to watch it. So with As the Gods Will, basically there's this god that's controlling everything. It's putting these students into these games. We don't really learn a lot about it until about the halfway mark in the movie, when it sort of takes a break from Shun's point of view and it pulls back and it shows all these news reports of this giant white cube floating in the sky. And apparently, it doesn't like say exactly, but we can assume that all of the games are being broadcast live to everyone. Everybody is watching it. They're watching it on their phones. They're watching it on the TV. They're watching it on a giant screen flowing in the air. So these, like, it's almost like the whole world is wrapped up in this. And it's not only centralized just over this one particular high school in Japan, but these cubes are appearing all over the world at different places. And it's only targeting high school students. We don't know why. That's never explained.
They deserve it.
They
and I love that, because like at one point they show, it's very much like a reality game show where it shows Shun and like they show him like a freeze frame. And it shows his name and somebody says, where's this broadcasting from? And it's so funny because like no joke, right before that, I was like, where is it broadcasting from? Like, where is that coming from? And then they asked, yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'd say the one thing that's very strange about this movie is the pacing, because it'll swap back and forth between all these things. You never quite know what's going on, which kind of adds to the horror, because you have no idea what's coming next. You understand there's more games, but you can't really fathom like what's going to happen, because each one is stranger than the last one. And so, for example, after they survived the classroom game with the Daruma, I guess I should explain that game. So they have the Daruma who literally explodes from the teacher's head. So he like inside the teacher's head explodes. Daruma hops onto the front desk, turns around and starts singing a song. And on the back of him, you can see like there's this little button. And so essentially this is red light, green light. And while the Daruma is turned around, they can't see him. They have to come up here and push the button to stop the game. And there's a timer, so they're being timed on it as well. So they can't really, take their time with this.
He's got head splody.
Yeah, but he's got head splody. So if he catches you and turns around and he sees you, then you explode into red marbles.
And he's singing the Daruma fell down. But in Japanese, it's like, the Daruma.
Yeah, he's like,
that's everybody's favorite song.
It's only like one line, but he draws it out so long. And I'd say that's like a difference between this one and Squid Game. Is in Squid Game, like, it's all the same length. But this one, it's because he's personally singing it, so it draws it out. So you don't know if he's just going to draw it out for like 10 seconds and then hit you with it, or if he's just going to, and then forward tons of people. So, like, it really puts you on the edge of your seat.
Unlike Squid Game, this is, like, supernatural, and it doesn't, I think the problem my husband had with it was, not just that, like, it doesn't have a parable or whatever, but it's not just that. It's just he kind of had an issue with the lack of plot behind it. But I was, I've come to the conclusion, because I loved it. I fucking loved it. And I think that if you're in it for the plot and for like a plot rich, movie, something with a lot of story, then you're probably not going to like it, but it's more of a spectacle.
Yes.
And I fucking loved it.
Yeah, I think it's mostly the style of the anime or the manga is based off of things happening. Because Miki in the past has done very, very faithful adaptations. And it's very likely that's also what this was going after. Like, they don't explain to me the true horror story of this movie, which is the grown man in a room with empty cans and many, many, many anime idols repeatedly saying the children of God, God's children.
What is it? Otaku? That's the term, I think.
It's
well, he ain't
no
say so.
Kami no ko, the children of God.
Yes.
I was thinking about this guy.
By a basement dweller.
I think he's
hentai.
Considered otaku. there's lots of
like a hikikomori kind of deal where he just lives inside of his apartment. Yeah. Everything is delivered to him. He never comes out.
It's
with his mom.
That was the funny thing. Okay, so he's like living with his mom. His room's a fucking mess, and he's got all this like anime stuff like surrounding him and the hentai stuff. And I told my husband, when he came up, I was like, I dated that guy.
Yeah, you did.
But we all did.
It was Adrian's ex-roommate. And he went to Japan and came back with a suitcase full of like underage hentai porn.
Oh no.
We're not going to say his name, but if you know us, you know who that is.
Oh my. Obi-Wan, what is
you? This is the guy who made me watch 5 seasons of Babylon 5.
Well, it's better that than Bible Black,
I was going to say, and we watched
Bible
Black.
No, it's from him that we saw that too. Him.
Oh, God.
He wanted to stay for the whole 90 minutes. It's like, I'm pretty sure we figured out the plot by now.
Yeah.
Jizz goes in, then it comes back out.
Girls grow penises like everybody has sex.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of variance after you figured out the main theme there.
Yeah. Can we talk about the best game in this game ever?
Are you talking about the next one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. So after surviving the Daruma, they're all directed towards the gymnasium. And upon arriving in the gymnasium, they discover mouse costumes, which some of the children have already decided would be a good idea to put those on. Because the funny thing about all these games is they feel very unfair in a way that, like, with Squid Game and things like that, they tell you the rules up front.
Yeah.
They're like, these are the rules. You do this, you're out. The thing about this one is they don't always tell you all the rules. And there's a lot of secret rules
that
you don't know
about. It's just like
real life in that way. And they're lying.
It's very true.
But yeah, with Squid Game, like, they make it a point that to make everything even and fair.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's part of the social commentary of that one, is, like, trying to make something unfair into something fair. So... But yeah, for this one, they don't see anything at first, and until they gather everyone in there, then suddenly, rising up out of the gym floor, is a giant Maneki Neko, a giant lucky cat.
Which I have on my fridge.
And Kitty has an itchy back, and somebody needs to get up there and scratch
it. Like, no joke,
it.
I've got, like, 5 right here.
Linda was with me when I accidentally stole my lucky cat charm.
Accidentally.
I was holding it and petting it, and you were getting crap at this market, and then we walked out, and you're like, wait, did you pay for that? I'm like, oh no, I didn't.
It sure was lucky. Oh. It's not my fault. It should be supernatural.
When you steal the nickel, I don't know if that's like...
That might explain a lot.
Maneki Neko, is that it?
Yeah, the beckoning cat.
Nico.
It's just based on an actual cat that lived in a Buddhist temple that would beckon people to come into the temple, and the temple started selling little figurines.
Come at me, bro.
And it went from there. They're still very popular today, and you see them everywhere.
I have that I got Carlo. Actually, when we first started dating, I bought him the Durama and the Neko. Kitty, and he's holding like a little crystal ball. But you guys know him because if you haven't seen these like stationary ones, then you've probably seen them in like maybe like a Japanese restaurant or market, and they're the ones that go.
It's in all them stores.
Come in, please. Come in. Give us business.
They are adorable.
This one, however, is not wonderful because as soon as it comes up, it immediately starts eating people, specifically the people who are wearing the mouse costumes, which coincidentally, the mouse costumes bear a striking resemblance to a certain mouse.
Oh, what am I? I own everything. I'm going to sue you.
Oh-ho. I'm going to sue you, bro.
And they quickly discover through basically trial and error that the thing that they have to do is there's a basketball hoop on the cat's collar, and there's a giant bell the size of a basketball, and they have to shoot the bell into the basketball hoop around the cat's collar while the cat is moving around and just eating everyone in sight.
And so it kind of looks like the snitch without the wings.
That's a perfect way to describe it. There's wonderful moment here that's one of my favorite moments in the movie, where there's one kid in here who is like beefed up. It's like, this is the basketball ace, and he's like, I've been waiting my whole life for this moment. This is where I'm going to be the hero, and this is when I'm going to do it. He takes the ball, he shoots it up there, the cat stops it.
And then he sits down in my house. Yeah.
The arms move. What the fuck?
And he slams that boy in the wall with that bell.
Beat up. Like, so it's so humorous. I love that moment. So
great. He says, I've been making 500 shots every day for so many years.
Yeah, and I never missed
one. My fingernails break on me.
So he says, like, his fingernails have fallen out or pulled off.
Yeah.
This is what I've been training for my whole life. But they do that in, like, the first game, too, because they have that really awesome guy that is, like, everybody's freaking out, and they're like, I don't want anything! And then there's this one guy who's just like, be calm.
Like, chill, bro, I got this.
And in fact, like, actually, that echoes through, like, other games as well, because there's a very brilliant guy in the Kokeshi game coming up who's literally laptop, like, doing all these calculations, and that's still not enough to save him. And it's really funny because it turns it on its head, because normally in a death game, those are the kind of people who survive all the way to the end. If you watch something like Alice in Borderland, like, that's the main character in there, Arisu, very smart, like, very calculating, knows how to beat a game, you know? And this guy, Shun, is just lucky, really.
Yeah. Well, he's clever.
And he's then Schwarzenegger clever. Takes out Opera Man and gets him to electrocute himself.
But in the first
it's not only Japan that makes this stuff.
This guy is saying, like, you know, they show him, like, helping Shun, like, steal games before. And he's just like, you have to be calm and you have to be bold.
Yeah, the dude was just like, nut up or shut up. The guy was going to steal one game. He's like, here's five games. Meet me outside.
I was like, here.
That game's trash. Yeah,
like, hey, these games, by the way, you got a nice ass. I'll see you outside. Like, what? I guess we're dating now.
He's what they would call in prison his bitch.
He is an alpha.
But he's like, he's so calm. He's got this. And they make you think, like, oh, okay, this is going to be one of the main characters. He's going all the way. No, he's like they're surrounded, literally surrounded by corpses. They've got like half a minute to go on the timer behind the Duruma. Yeah. And so he says, let's just play like leapfrog. Use me to leap over the corpses. And he makes it just in time. And then Duruma says, you have survived. The winner, or the one who pushed the button, is Shun.
Blame that guy.
I love that. Basically, the sound of his thumbs up. And he gets a little.
Yeah, and then something explodes in the marbles, and he's still like, I did it.
Turns into
it's so shocking when you see it, because you assume both of them are going to survive. So
yeah,
and that's when you first see like how unfair I think these games are, and well, that you don't.
That's a valuable lesson. Use your friend as a ladder, and then you survive, and they don't.
Well, it plays into the next game they play with the cat, where they put the cat to sleep after rubbing its back like a good kitty once. And then, like, okay, let's do this. Like, no, motherfucker. And it's we're all doing this together. So they end up fighting over who's going to do it and live, and the cat gets reasonably pissed off and acts like any cat being disturbed from a nap, and out come the claws.
And I have that. I want to play that.
You have a claw warp?
にゃーにゃー。にゃーにゃーにゃー。にゃー。にゃー背中がいいの。痒くて眠れないにゃー。
And so that's the idea behind them wearing the mouse costumes, is if you're not wearing the mouse costumes, all you hear is, nya, 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 nya. But as soon as you put on the mouse thing, you can hear it say, oh, my back is so itchy. Won't you scratch it, please?
I can't sleep because my back is so itchy.
And I'm huge, so it isn't going to do me any good to rub myself on your shoe.
Yeah. I love that they're scratching porcelain.
Yeah. Hear like that sound folly of them just like scratching porcelain cat, and it's like, it's so ridiculous, but you're like, you're so into it because it's so intense. Yes. At that point.
But and there's like, there's some like two strands of rope in the back, so I was telling my husband, I was like, it has to do something with that, those strands of rope on the back, like that has to be something. But yeah. And what's her name, the female lead.
Well, you mean the one that has an unfortunate game, or the one with the short hair?
From the beginning, his neighbor.
Right.
Yeah. She like, unfortunately, like, she was closest to the Duruma in her classroom, so she pushed the button. And ended up killing all of her schoolmates.
Yeah.
That's like, the only way to get out of that classroom.
Yep.
What's a little bloodshed between friends?
You gotta push the button or you gotta be red marbles. That's the rules.
Yeah.
Oh, and we also want to mention this game is also significant because it introduces one of the best characters in the movie.
The man Amaya. Straight out of the battle royal.
Yeah. He was bloodthirsty.
Ayasha.
Yeah, Amaya. When we first meet him, he's literally rounds, and he's beating up five kids, and he's like mercilessly beating down the last one. And then he's over at Shun like, hey.
When I was in high school, that was me. I would take on 10 attackers a day and like 12 more at lunch. That was me every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And people would meet me after school to beat me up, but I would beat them up. And then I would go to their house to beat up their dads.
I was like our cousin Mike, who used to try to tell me, yeah, I got my ass kicked, but it was cool because I was like on the ground bleeding and told this guy, give me my backpack. And he did. And I pulled out a smoke from there and I lit it up. He was like, no, you didn't.
was that in between crying and wetting yourself?
Yeah.
That's how I did it when I got beat up in school.
He was literally Chris Farley and Billy Madison. That Veronica Vaughn is one hot piece of ace.
Ace.
So we have Amaya, and Amaya's whole thing is wrapped up in he believes he has been chosen by the god who is running these games. In his opinion, he kind of takes on this, like, light Yagami Kai role. He's like the god of this new world. And I am, like, a prophet of this, like, new god. And I will bathe myself in blood and I will destroy everyone to become the best. For I am one of God's chosen children.
And he just prayed for this world.
Yeah, he's in a different way.
But like, meanwhile, while all of them are playing the cat and mouse game and literally running for their lives, Amaya takes the time to take a picture of Shun looking alive in his mouse costume. And he comes in at the last second and like they trick the kitty by wrapping a basketball and the bell, they put the bell in an empty basketball shell.
Yeah, inside a pointed basketball that the cat shredded open.
And then they wrap those in the mouse costumes and basically get him to think that, like, Shun accidentally let some of his basketball show. And so they lead him, the kitty, to believe that the girl is holding, was it Ashkan? I can't remember. Anyway, they lead her, them, the kitty, to believe that she's holding the real bell. And so he's like Donnie said, not my house. Yeah. And then Shun comes in and he shoots the ball. And like, I was telling my husband, I was like, it's not going to make it. It doesn't make it.
That was great.
But then like, Amaya shows up at the last second, runs up the cat's back and like, grabs it and throws it through the hoop.
Yeah.
And then he's like, look at this picture I found of you. You look alive.
And then the best part is after the cat's defeated, he goes off and he kills like two of the other students with his
katana.
He doesn't
even wait for them to be killed. He's like, I'll do it.
I'll take care of this cat. Don't worry, I got it. Because
the
they did not participate.
The real world isn't about making friends. Whatever. It's about winning.
Yeah.
Well, Shun's trying to say, like, well, we all scratched its back, so we're all going to survive. And usually the god dolls, whatever they say, at the end, the survivors are, so they say the survivors are Amaya, or what's his name? Shun, what's his name? And, the girl's name. And, and they're like, well, wait, what about the others?
Look back.
Why that they've all been stabbed.
Yeah, we didn't have to say any more names because they're dead.
They're dead. Like, no reason for it. It's just like Amaya's just like, no, I'm going to kill bitches left and right.
Meow, bitches, meow.
And after this is a real turning point in the movie, because at this point, after that game is when we find out about the giant floating cubes. And from there, everything begins to get more and more surreal.
Cause they wake up in their PJs in the white room.
Yeah, they wake up in these white clothes inside this white room, and they're all separated. They figure out it's based on their names, so all of the kids whose names begin with Ta are in this room. So Takahata, Taito.
Taco.
I remember Taco.
It's like Taita and Shoko Takase. And Shoko's the other lead female in here. So, and so the four of them, I believe Tyra is the one who's the mechanical genius, who's sitting there like typing away on his laptop, trying to figure out this game and figure out how to win. And then suddenly,
actually excited.
Yeah, he just knows. He's like, oh, children's games. I've got this. You know, I'm going to
survive.
This is the first one to die.
Parsley.
And so the next
that was the that one thing had. I really felt bad for was parsley.
That's nobody's so favorite.
That game was, I think, the worst out of all of them as far as unfair rules. It was really fun to watch, but it was really painful to watch too.
The guy, the murderous bastard, said he was the one saying, "I knew this was a lie all along." It's like you kind of can tell because they tell you how to win a game. Yeah. But this one's just like, I'm just going to ask you some questions. Like, well, how many questions? You could have asked that. It's like, no, this just ends when I want it to end.
But before that, you have the, what do they call the Kagoshi or the...
Yeah, this is the Kokeshi, which are these tiny little wooden dolls. Aww. I don't know if you can see tiny eraser
kinda,
version.
It's blurry, but...
They're little tall dolls made out of wood, and tend to have... names written on the back. So each of the ones in here, there are four Kokeshi dolls in this game, and they each have a name written on them. I forget I know there's like a Ayumi. What's the other names? I don't remember. There were just this, like four generic Japanese names, just like kids' names that you would find like out on the playground, like nothing special. And each of them has like a different character face on there. So they all have like their own distinct personality and name. And then basically what they're playing is Kagome Kagome, which is basically like Duck Duck Goose if you were blindfolded and you'd have to tell who the goose was who tagged you. Yeah. So basically they sing this. They walk around you. You're blindfolded. When the music stops, you have to say who's behind you. And if you guess the correct one, you live. If you guess the wrong one, you die.
But it's really hard because, like, they don't say anything. And they're when they're singing the song, it all kind of blurs together. But you know what it made me think of is the interview process to get into Videorama.
Yeah.
Say, you have to guess who's tickling your butthole.
Pretty much the same way if you apply at the Bon Marché.
Yes.
And here we go. I've got the thing for that, too.
Ben, look!
Oh, I love it.
It's a very simple game, but very deadly. And again, our protagonist manages to trick the dolls this time around, because this is like third game now. He's starting to catch on that there's a lot of stuff going on under the hood of these games that make them very unfair. So he's recording things that are happening around him, and he records one of them saying, time is up, and then he plays it to make them think that one of them said it, and then that's how he's able to win the game, is one of them says, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then by process of elimination, be like, that one is there. And then they were in this configuration. So if that one's on my left, then blah, 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 that one's behind me, and figures out the game. And in that one, like, only one person needed to win. So as soon as he does that, him and Shoko are ready to go on to the next game.
But I think that might have been one of the most brutal killings.
Person was literally pulled apart, like drawn and quartered, like by the Kokeshi. Yeah. Yeah,
she suffered some van damage.
That's what I was thinking. It's like they did this weird thing where they like shoot a laser into your forehead and they take control of you like a puppet, and then they just like the first guy, they just mash into the ground, and you just assume that's your way for the other people too. And the next guy who gets it, they just literally tear her apart. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, she does like the splits, and then they've got like these magnets in the bottom, so they connect and pull and pull and pull and pull. So she got split up her vagine.
Yes, you do.
Which we again get to see blood.
That one was intense, for sure.
But, I mean, it's kind of funny because the whole thing of not telling you a lot, it does coincide with what they tell you later on in the last game of you had to win by intelligence and strength.
And creativity, yes. I think.
Yes.
And popsicle.
The fourth qualities were fitness, intelligence, imagination, and luck.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, on to the racist polar bear.
He wasn't racist. He had the coolest intro, too.
He was rad.
I like your white things. I hate black hearts.
There's like a mini game that happens between these two games. It's a transition.
The keys, yeah.
They have these keys, and it's kind of like this weird friend tag where one of the Kokeshi dolls is like wandering the hallways, and you have to be holding hands with someone, and if you're not, dead.
Yeah, that was Kokeshi bro. He was small.
Kokeshi bro.
Yeah. Die when you win, you get a key.
I'm so jealous. You guys are such good friends.
With seven keys to open up the door into the next area.
Yeah, the guy's like, I'm so lonely.
There are seven survivors that managed to get a key and go through the door, and they come into the next game, which
there
is
were
Shira.
Eight survivors, actually.
Oh, that's right.
They're like, don't worry, I got this.
Maya's like, we have an extra person.
I just needed him to hold my hand.
It's done now.
Reminds me a lot of this very cheap late 80s straight to video movie. I think it's called The Seventh Chamber, and it's these thieves underneath this mansion, and there are these various death traps in there. And the twist at the end is that the girl who was with him was in on it the whole time, and they do this all the time to various victims.
Jane, I like your Stein.
Oh, thank you.
That's awesome.
Cool. The, it's just got water in it.
You can lie. It's okay. Joni's been drinking little bits of hemlock every day until she gets immunity.
He's stronger.
Only the thing I loved about the polar bear challenge, though, is that when the wonderful lady who admits she has a crush on Takahashi, she is part of what makes women not very fond of Miike. And they have said this, that they like his female characters he writes, and they like his romances, but they do not like at all what he does with these women in making twists. Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta get pounded into the ground.
Yeah, repeatedly.
Too. Like, it's really sad because, like, both of them, like, you think that one of them is going to come on top of the two girl protagonists, you know, to be with him at the end and have a happy ending. Mm-mm. There are no happy endings in this movie. Just sorry. Really bad ones.
Yeah. Get rid of that whole movie girlfriend trope. Just kill her.
Yeah, just kill it. So that's about it, like, it's that it takes that trope and it just slams it and then just, like, skull cracks it on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Like, nobody's
and during this part, like, so the polar bear comes in doing, like, these half pipe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. With snowboarding.
And he's a stop motion chainsaw polar bear.
Yeah. And I told my husband.
It's I was like, half blade man, half, like, what would you call it? Like a puppet or something. And he's just Ooh, I'm radical.
And he's a felt mouth.
Yeah. I told Carla, I was like, it's polar bear extreme.
Yeah. He's going to sell us the heck out of some coke.
You kids ready to talk about the Bible?
You found Jesus.
In a closet.
Yeah, let me tell you about another cool half piper who loved to shred some snow. His name is Jesus.
The coolest guy I know.
We got some rocking music for y'all, stripers here.
Water in the fine. I like everything pure white, like my man Jesus.
That's no black hearts here.
No Satan here.
Zero Puma introduces himself as a polar bear who loves clean, pure white things and hates lies. So the game is, don't tell a lie to me and I won't fucking kill you. So he asks a question and then everyone must answer. And if anybody lies,
you
will have to kill somebody. And the kicker is they have to decide who is the liar and who will be killed if that happens.
Sacrificial lamb is.
2 minutes.
Sacrificial lamb who will die for their lie.
One of you is an alien, just saying.
And I was thinking, like, why don't they just, like, sacrifice the psycho?
That would have been the obvious choice.
Right? I mean, they're all, like,
that's why I love it. It's like
psycho. He could kill us. Like
Adrian mentioned, I felt bad for the guy who loved parsley as his favorite food, and they killed him because who the fuck loves parsley?
He was the only one.
But then that's amazing. They go and they pick the girl as she's the traitor and the liar. Fucking psycho guy's like, yeah, sure, why not? He doesn't give a fuck.
It's like, I thought that he was the one.
He's the one you should try to pick.
Yeah, nobody bothered saying, like, it's probably that guy.
Probably the liar.
Like, all the people here, who's the shadiest?
Yes.
And he tries to throw out everyone else. He's like, we don't even barely know these people. Who are these other guys? We just bumped into them. Like, at least we know each other, but who the heck are these two guys?
Yeah. I thought he was lying from the beginning to kill people
this
off.
That's why I would hate playing this with my sister, because when I got her to play the board game of the thing, every time it came down to who's the imposter in your group, she always chose me. It didn't matter if I was even in the mission or not. She's like, yeah, it's him.
It's Donnie.
I got left behind. I was a human being.
No, you didn't. I was the thing. And so you guys saw through my clever ruse.
Your clever ruse of always throwing me under the bus.
Don't Don't fuck with her, fellas. This ain't her first time at the rodeo.
This is my long game. I always throw you under the bus.
But yeah, because they asked that the first question is, what is your favorite food? And then they were like, well, they're all going to be like this. This is going to be easy. And I couldn't help but think of Monty Python.
Like, what is your favorite color?
Blue. No.
You're an extreme.
I seek the grail.
It's like, what is the velocity?
Yeah, it's the velocity, but not I can swallow.
Like, I don't know.
It's like, who would lie about their favorite food? And not only that, who would be able to tell that you're lying? And part of that you could attribute to, oh, this is a supernatural guy. Obviously, he's like a lie detector, can tell when somebody's lying. You just kind of assume that from the outset. And that's what almost kills everybody, is they assume that the liar is one of them.
Yes,
turned out he was just another John Edward.
He says, one of you, one of us, infiltrated your group and is what disguised himself as one of you.
Among us.
And then, until you kill the liar, we'll just keep killing people.
And I was thinking, I don't know, Maya's looking pretty sus.
Yeah, when they get to the question, the yes, which is, or it's more of a statement, really, and it's fond of Shu Takahata. Yeah. And so everybody comes around, and the two one guys are like, well, I don't know you, I don't hate you, no. I guess. Okay.
But I love that one. It's like, I'm not fond of him. It's like, that really hurts.
This is surprisingly, I can't remember. This is surprisingly hurtful.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, but yeah, so they decide to blame, Shoko. And, not to be confused with Yoko. And, she's like, but I'm not, cause they say, well, the three of you guys are from one high school. The two of you guys are from one high school. And then, both, Shun and Itsuka say, well, we've known her since, junior high. And, and they're like, yeah, that makes her even more sus. And like, what? She just shows up? And so, they decide on her and Shun's like, fucking A, what the hell are you doing? And Polar Bear's like, bam! And smashes her and gets the blood. Yeah.
Like all that's left is hair and a pool of blood.
Yeah. And so then that's when Shun says, you're the liar. Because he obviously doesn't like pure white things because now he's got blood on his paw. And in the snow, you're like, son of a bitch.
And actually, this is kind of funny if you know anything about like polar bears, is that polar bears actually do have black skin. Their fur is basically this like translucent like kind of white thing that reflects all the light, but their skin is black. So he's a polar bear. So if you know anything about that, you're like, oh, he's not white at all.
Damn.
That's like another layer to like that kind of thing. So,
they want to cuddle.
His paint peels away and he's revealed to be, oh, I wasn't a pure white bear. I was a black bear the whole time.
Damn,
it's like
all
those dumbass KKK members who like go on Maury and have a blood test and find out that they're 4% African.
That ain't true.
Well, they knew Maury was going to do that. They shouldn't have fallen for it. Then they found out they were the father.
Yeah, seriously, rip the poor Parsley kid and rip Shoko because she had a really cool backstory.
She did.
Basically, she was going to jump off the roof and she saw Takahata just like smashing pottery on top of the school.
So much fun.
Can I do that too?
And then she does. And she's like, and now I want to live.
And she gets a crush on him.
And then they kick the can and they all learn some kind of lesson.
Yeah, well, we're getting there, Adrian. For fuck's sake, man.
Tell the whole movie.
It's only been an hour. That's what we're supposed to do with these shows, but somebody doesn't want to do that.
Someone's going to
get their dick ripped off. Okay, so then from there they go on to the final stage, and it's Matryoshka dolls.
Yeah.
And they have to play kick the can. Kick the can.
Yeah. Like, funny enough, the Matryoshka and the, I actually have like a little Matryoshka here, the little nesting doll.
Oh, I've got some too out back there. I got monkey ones.
Yes. Well, and so, like, the funny thing about that is the little dolls are actually running the game, and Kick the Can, I don't think, has anything to do with Matryoshka dolls, but it's just an interesting game for them to play. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Have fun. Play this game. Play Kick the Can. Like, don't worry about it.
By the way, whoever kicks the can is going to die because there's a huge explosion.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, like the... So if you're not familiar with Kick the Can, the basic premise is that one person is it, that person has to go and touch the can, and then they run around and try to find everyone else. And it's kind of like hide and go seek. And when you're found, you get tagged and you get put in jail. And if you want to, you can go and rescue the people in jail by going back to the can and kicking it before it gets to it, and that'll release everybody from jail. That's the basics of Kick the Can. There's always, like, home rules and things like that. It's, like, a very common street game played around the world.
But and, as you know, like, Shun's gonna kick the can. He's gonna fucking kick the can.
And they warn him. They're like, by the way, if you want to try and save everybody who gets captured, the can's going to explode when you kick it, so you will die. And they're like, oh, can't have this happen then. We gotta make sure we win.
If, but then if, otherwise, if somebody doesn't kick the can, then everybody in, who's been captured dies. So somebody's gonna die no matter what.
Yeah.
And if somebody kicks the can, then not only do they die, but I think it dies too, whoever's it.
Yeah.
So
pretty sure it loses. So it's either it loses or you win and everyone in jail dies, I guess. So.
But if you're playing by Twilight Zone rules, then you all get younger.
We are the only thing I know for this
right
whole
young
game.
Minds.
The only thing I know for this damn game is how the main good guy puts on fucking full plate armor.
Yep.
But he's walking around like he's just had like meth withdrawals for about a month, and he's just
heavy.
Suddenly the slowest fuck in
it's
the world.
Heavy as fuck, man.
Yeah, and he has a limp.
Yeah, like, on top of that, he like throws himself over the edge with like a chain. He manages to escape out of the suit of armor without it coming apart.
Yeah.
And so Mike's kicking up this thing, and he's already climbing up the wall, and he's running to go kick the can. It's like, how
he's
did
like
he
David
do
Blaine
that?
He did David Blaine that.
Yeah. Mind freak.
He just puked orange soda. Mind freak.
Maybe he just fell out of it when he fell off the edge of the cliff. Like, wow, that was easy. But even then, with all the weight, he still walks around like a gimp afterward.
It's a stripper suit of armor. It's breakaway in the bank.
Well, it's probably a good workout. But yeah, so anyway, he kicks the can, and then he's like, and Maya's like, but nobody dies, and they're like, the Matryoshkas are like, oh yeah, we're kind of full of shit. That was just for fun.
Here's some fireworks and ice cream.
With these popsicles, nothing's wrong now.
And Amaya's like,
Amaya was pissed.
People.
We just wanted to see him play a game.
Which actually was even funnier with Amaya when he kicks one of the Matryoshka dolls and uses that to get the can down. Like, damn, dude. But yes, the final challenge when everyone's relaxing and the guy decides he's going to talk to this lady about going to hold hands and seeing a movie.
They're going to be steady.
Yeah, they're going to go steady.
On a date.
Yeah, they're going to go to make out point and hold hands and cut.
Yep, picking flowers. Yep.
That's when they discover the ice cream they're eating actually tells them who lives and who dies.
Yeah, and he like starts seeing like they're like, yeah, things are gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna live happily ever after. Hot fucking damn! And they're like, ice cream. Although culturally, we're probably more of us are probably lactose intolerant, but that's okay. And then
it might not have had milk in it. Might have been frozen coconut. You
that's
know,
true.
Like it did look good, like treats. I love those melon bars that you can get at, like, SakuraCon and stuff. They're super good.
Dreams are like the only.
But then he's like, Shun sees something, like, it just says you.
Yes,
and he's like, oh, look, I won something.
You can find a joke or something on here.
I am a winner.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry, I don't think we're going to be able to be boyfriend and girlfriend. He's like, bitch, what?
Yeah.
I thought these sticks just had lame jokes on them, but now they're telling my dad.
Like, tonight, you will get your dick ripped off. What is that? Is that a Uh-oh. Winner or something?
Maybe so, pops yeah. like a stick fine.
Three die and only two walk away.
Yes, so ironically enough, Amaya
survives.
Which makes now him happy because he's God's chosen.
Yes, now he's like perking up. Like at first he's like, I didn't get to kill other people.
Yeah.
He just drops his popsicle.
Yeah, he's like, whatever. Lost the game, but whatever. It's not important.
But he's like still a winner, and so it's like, what the fuck, man? And like, but then he's like, other people die? Yes.
And for no apparent reason, at the end we get God, and then we get Mr. Otaku coming out to save the world with his anime.
I don't think setting it up for a sequel or a series.
No, that's all you get. That's all you should get.
Yes.
You never don't explain need it, more.
Like,
ever.
That was one of the more confusing things because they were talking a lot about, like, Kami-sama. Who is Kami-sama? Yeah. Who is God? And earlier and, we were treated to a little vignette of a homeless man approaching two other homeless men. And he, like, bangs on the radio and fixes it instantly. And that's the guy that we see at the end. So we're like, oh, is this Kami-sama? Is this the guy running the game? Why?
Yeah.
Like, his character's name is Homeless. But yeah, in the Shinto religion, Kami are basically spirits, ghosts, and like they could be different animals or take the form of different animals. But in this, he's a god. And I know this because my cat's name is Cammy, and I researched the Shinto religion.
Your cat's based on that Cammy's secret product.
I also call her Kamala.
She's going to kill you.
I mean, I've already accepted that.
Well, she is
she's Kamala Khan. Yeah, you've met her. It's Auntie Joni.
Well,
but yeah, so they end up really happy, and Amaya's like, God's child, people died.
Yeah,
Yatta.
And obviously, it's only just the beginning. Things are on the horizon for them, and so Amaya is happy. And Takahata is terrified, understandably so.
And he's like, both my potential girlfriends died. That's a bummer.
You know who else was terrified at the end of this?
Oh,
Amy.
Who,
Donnie?
Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
Amy.
Amy. Amy, beautiful.
Amy. Amy, beautiful. Beautiful Amy. Okay.
So this movie came out at a time when I was very happy. It came out in 2014. And everything, the future looked bright, and I felt like my life was really together.
Had to wear shades.
Yeah. So, world premiere was on October 18th, 2014 at the Rome Film Festival. And then it came out in Japan for its only general theatrical release on November 15th, 2000.
So tomorrow, as of, we're recording this on the 17th, so tomorrow's the 7-year anniversary.
Good timing. Happy birthday, as the gods will.
Happy birthday, as the gods will.
Yeah. So it costed about the $1.5 million. It grossed roughly, I'd say worldwide, but it was just Japan really. The $1.9 million. Hit a really good opening weekend. It opened at number one. Beating out something called Pale Moon, which I've never heard of. I think it's also from Japan.
Hasty Moon.
And that remake of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh.
And something called Clover. And something called Twilight, Seiya, and Sasara. And Expendables 3. And Close Range Love. And Dracula Untold. Then there's a Pokemon movie.
The Pokemon movie.
Then there's a bunch of shit that I've never heard of. And there you go. Damn. Japanese box office in 2014. What?
Best year of our lives.
Well, that's when Linda did the get married.
Yeah, that's when I did that thing.
Yeah, and Donnie got us all drunk on his sweet candy beer.
So good.
He did. Yeah. We were on a boat.
We were.
I'm on a boat.
We were on a boat. Dance to Footloose, but we were too old. Not like now.
Not like now where we reverse it, age like Benjamin. On.
I told my wife, I age like fine wine. She locked me in the cellar. No respect.
So that would explain why I keep singing, I'd never ever do it on a Christmas tree. Oh, what would Santa of me? So I was going to say, what would Satan think of me? But then I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right.
No.
Johnny.
He's standing and clapping.
Yes, we know.
Were you able to, Donnie? Oh, Donnie!
Any questions? Oh, I found some reviews.
Oh, boy.
I'll just bet you did. I bet people really understanding, appreciative, and respectful of Mr. Mikkei's oeuvre.
Actually, it was really hard to find bad reviews.
Okay.
But, they all had a common theme, apparently. And I'm going to present these as they were, without translation. Because
well, and Rotten Tomatoes, isn't it like something...
Okay, let's not look at Rotten Tomatoes at all, okay?
Like,
fuck critics, especially fuck critics working nowadays. They're all just a bunch of little butthurt bitches who want to make the name by shitting on old good stuff. Fuck them.
Including us.
Yeah, they hate us. Yeah. Yeah. No, fuck it. Word to your mother, Rotten Tomatoes, okay?
Yeah, come at us, bitch.
I watched the whole of it just because I'm that type of person. I'm not one of those critics that goes to the movies just to find justifications for why they hate that particular film. I try to enjoy everything I watch and look for its good points, and for that, I rate a lot of movies highly. I'd rate most of the films I've seen 7 and above out of 10.
Fuck.
See how considerate I am? Not in this one. This is just dumb and creepy and weird. Please, spare yourself. No matter how intriguing the plot seemed, don't watch this. I've seen Elvin Lied and Battle Royale. These are 9 out of 10 for me. So don't think this is one of those deep, gory masterpieces.
Battle Royale, a 9 out of 10? I don't know.
Yeah.
But don't they say the same thing about us, stupid, creepy, and...
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
That's why we stopped going on Tinder.
Watch Kenji Fukasaku movie.
Watch this movie blind without knowing it was from one of my favorite directors, and it made things worst. W-O-R-S-T.
It worst.
This is a fun one.
That's not liverwurst.
First of all, acting is just bad. Dialogues doesn't help either.
Should never have acting, no.
Bad. And acting
it's not
is bad.
Like fun bad, like I would expect from Takashi. It's not just there. Second, the monsters or gods are whatever at e boring, and especially watching it after Gantz.
At zero. What? wait, what was
I will repeat that so you know you're not having a stroke.
Yeah.
Second, the monsters or gods or whatever at the letter E, boring, and especially watching it after Gantz zero. I know it's newer, but it's just 3 years. There's nothing going on for them. Third, another battle royale that adds nothing to the genre. There's nothing to write home about it. It's bland, cheesy, not suspenseful, and nothing to care about the characters. I'm familiar with Takashi Miike's work from Visitor Q to Yakuza Apocalypse, and it's a hit or miss. Sadly, this one is a miss unlike the letter. Not ladder, letter.
I have Yakuza Apocalypse running silent in the background.
Oh.
That's also a fun movie.
The screen when it has a tadpole attacking people.
I haven't seen it yet, but it looks like it can't help
awesome.
But it's
really
fun.
It's a fun movie. Yeah.
A fan of Miki, the director. I thought I'd give this film a chance.
Wow.
What's that a mistake? The beginning 10 minutes or so are insanely bad.
What is
Not
love?
Not so bad it's good way either. This is just god awful.
Everybody's got to make that clear.
And god awful?
Tempted to turn it off, I was determined to sit through it to see if it improved. And it did not. I started to play on the 3DS to help get to the end. It's that bad. The ending didn't have any kind of message. And I honestly say that I feel cheated for wasting 2 hours of my life on this turd. Please, if you're a fan of Miike, to ignore the fact that this film even exists.
I'm an authority on matters, I really must say. Normally I love things, but this movie made me hate things, so you know it's pretty bad.
A dramatic reading.
I have over 500 Yelp reviews. I think I know what I'm talking about.
I'm a Yelp elite.
I'm verified, thank you.
You know who I am.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. A lot of opinions. They didn't
that was
like
special.
They didn't like not knowing how things work. They didn't like that it wasn't super, super duper gory. It was just fun.
They're right up there with that Michael Medved, I swear.
Apparently, yeah. there have been a lot of people who compare it, of course, to Squid Game.
That's more recent. Because people want to sound smart by comparing this film from 2014 to something 2021.
I feel like that's culturally narrow of them.
Yeah.
Well,
like, why not mention 31, you know, or The Running Man, or The Tenth Victim, or Death Race 2000?
Or even Battle Royale, for that matter. But, then you get into that whole line of, like, yeah, Hunger Games and whatnot. But, the thing is, like, we were just talking about it on the last episode of Broomflix, where I was saying, like, we were covering the film version of Into the Woods, after having covered the, with, you know, the film version has Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
But then, that was after the stage version, including Bernadette Peters.
Okay. Yeah, that one was.
And it's just one of the things where, like, you can enjoy one of them as long as you don't compare it to the other. Just like with Constantine. Mm-hmm. Constantine is an awesome, fun movie to watch if you don't say to yourself, this is John Constantine of Hellblazer. Because if you compare the two, you're going to say, that's not fucking John Constantine. That's fucking Keanu Reeves.
Like, and sometimes it's just fine to be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
All the time it's just fine to be Keanu Reeves. But what I'm saying is that, like, it's unfair to one of the movies if you're going to compare it. Unless it's actually like a fucking reboot or, you know, no. Whatever.
Honestly, a lot of people are comparing those because they want views and they want the hits. Because it's popular, so they have to tear down into that. Like, it's something new to do. And the only comparison they can make is they both have kids' games, and only one of those games appears in Squid Games. That's it. Everything else is completely the opposite. In Squid Games, you're told you can be here by your own choice to do so.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's voluntary.
You're not picked by Goud.
And it's adults.
So, yeah, and those people have a reason to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's
yeah,
just
the other difference is I'm never watching Squid Game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, for me, like, I first watched this movie this year in the summertime when I was looking for specifically for Death Game movies, and this came up on a bunch of people's lists, and they're like, oh, if you haven't seen one, you need to watch this. And then just a little while ago when Squid Game came out, I was, like, looking for things on Netflix being like, man, I just really enjoy it as the God's will, and I can't seem to find any more good Death Game because I already went through Alice in Borderland. And then Squid Game came up, and I was like, yes, more Death Game content. Yes. This is the dystopia I live in.
Squid Game is fucking amazing. I mean, yeah,
it doesn't seem to be a lot of information about as the God's will, though, for some reason. Like, it seems to be sort of ignored.
A lot of people have said that Squid Game is just a ripoff of As the Gods Will, which is actually bullshit because it was actually the story for Squid Game was actually, I believe, produced and ready to go in 2010.
Yeah,
but or something
started
like
on
that.
In 2009 and was shopping it around.
Like an outline
and
of
shopped
it
to Netflix, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like we have the manga that this was based off of, and that was like a 5-volume manga that they did this whole thing off of, and everything gets traced back to something else, so nobody wins in this game.
There's no original story
yeah, we covered that.
But yeah, so you can't compare the both of them is what I'm saying. Like, and it's possible to enjoy the fuck out of both of them, which I do.
And they should, but...
We had to go all the way to Vudu to get this because, like, Netflix didn't have it, and Amazon didn't have it, and YouTube claims to have it but doesn't, and freaking Tubi doesn't have it. Like,
it has it in Russian, but I also found a site that has it in very bad dub.
Yes! You really want to watch this one, like, in good quality because it has such cool, like, special effects.
I hate giving Vudu any of my money because they're fucking Walmart, but it's
the
only option.
Well, you give Fandango your money, and they're also owned by them.
Oh, so. I used to. I don't get them. But Donnie,
what do you support the fascists?
Yeah.
Please share your story of the alternative version you found.
No, I think people should discover this on their own because it was dubbed from two different languages to English.
Cool.
So, yeah, it makes no sense. If you think what you're watching makes no sense, the subtitles make even less sense. Like, even with the game with the cat and the bell, it literally just says, you mouse. It says, okay. And then the game, instead of it saying, put the bell on the cat to win, or to end, it just says bell on cat over. Like, okay, that kind of you can still follow it. But then it's like when they say put on the mouse costume, they're like, we is mouse. Okay. It's like, oh, all right, I guess we're mice now. Squeak, bitch.
Hey, I'm a fan of the Crazy Cat comic. I'm cool with not really knowing what's going on.
It just kind of reminded me of the movie Amistad, where it's like they're looking at the Bible and they're interpreting the story through the pictures. And that's kind of how this goes. You're just watching the movie because you're like, these subtitles are gibberish to me, and it's not even in a language I don't know. It's my own language, but broken. So you're like, ah, I put it together by the pictures I see on the screen.
English.
Yeah, and they're like, Your Worship, could you say it not in Latin? We're not in, like, Latin town right now. And it's like, what? Yeah. What? Blasphemer? And then Martin Luther's like, hey, dude, could you chill a little bit? And the guy's like, let me think about it. No. I'm going to pursue Galileo later on, even though the time frame doesn't work. Later.
But what I will share about the alternate version I watched with those subtitles is that it made for a different movie, which I think we're going to do now.
Donnie, didn't you say that it was okay, so it's like originally in Japanese, but didn't you say that version was translated to Korean and translated to English from the Korean? Yeah,
is that your doctor of it, Linda?
I went trying to find this so I could show this movie to friends, and I'm like, damn, this is in Russian, but it looks good. And then I found another one. I was like, wow, this is in 1080p, but it's not English that I know of English. And it's like, wow, maybe this one will actually work. Oh, my God, it actually has English, and it's in 1080p. But I still
Why don't you speak Russian?
Like the
Russian subtitled movies like or Russian dubbed movies are amazing because they usually have one man doing all the voices.
Yes, yeah, that's
one cool. man show. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually the dubs are so fucking, like, the acting is always so bad, and like the sound is always so bad. You could tell
sometimes
that
that's
like,
what you're looking for, though. Like sometimes that adds something. That's like
that
Like the Giallos, they were way better when they were dubbed because the ones later where you get Italians trying to do English, it's god awful.
That was something I was going to bring up because of the scene that you mentioned, Linda, where the guy is talking about all the hours he played basketball for. In the version that we watched on Vudu, it says that his fingernails were ripped out repeatedly while he did this. But in the other English dub...
I was thinking you're basketballing wrong.
Yeah, the other English dub that I watched, instead of saying his fingernails were ripped out, it said that his fingernails had broke, that they had snapped.
And it's like, so,
and then I looked.
Yeah,
then I
they
looked
like
online.
Pop off.
Yeah. I looked online, and they said that there are two English tracks to this, but the first one that came out had a lot of inconsistencies. So it had a lot of alterations in what was said. But then the more recent one, the one we had on Vudu, was supposed to be the more appropriated one, the one that was actually done with care.
Okay.
So that's why it was kind of interesting rewatching it with friends and seeing that come up. And seeing the differences in what I had watched last night on Vudu.
That fingernail line, did that make anybody else think about Bryan Adams' Summer of 69?
I know he played till his fingers bled, but I would love it if Bryan Adams said his fingernails came off.
Just popped
out. Played until my Jeff fingernails Holden ripped off.
Sure, now I can't play guitar.
Like, I was a fly who dreamed of being a guitarist.
And then I got really pissed, and I was like, fuck this shit.
Linda, do you have a script doctor?
I do. Because, of course, I would like to see the, you know, sequel, see what happens, what it's all about, and all that. However, I've decided, actually, because as Joni said, they do say that this is happening around the world, that these cubes are showing up and making these high schools play the game. I would like to see other versions around the world. What are they playing?
Same.
Who's showing up there? And is it the Matryoshka doll showing up for everybody? With the disturbing teeth
play
and tongue?
Heads up, seven up.
You're going to play someone gets their dick ripped off.
I remember when I was first going to college, and we shall not name who it is, but somebody who came close to ruining my wedding was telling me that since I was going off to college,
That's the thing I don't like about 2014.
Yes. He was telling me that now is going to be the best time of my life going to college, and I should play the games that he used to play. Like someone would, his partner would put something in his butt, and he had to guess what it was. So can't that be one of the games? Guess what's in your ass?
So he watched 9.5 weeks when he was really tired or stoned and like got it all in reverse. Like, oh, I put the Dayquil in my butt.
Yeah.
You can leave your hat on.
What's in my butt?
I'm gonna need a stick of butter.
But yeah, sorry, that's my script doctor. Oh, or I would remake it beat for beat, and I would basically change nothing about the movie except I would digitally insert Danny DeVito as all of the doll gods.
You would.
Like, Daruma!
He would make a great Daruma, just to be fair. So,
and it would be every single one of the Karumes, or whatever they're called, the Kagumes, or whatever.
The Kokeshi, Kagume.
Yeah. Kagume.
And I offer you an egg in these trying
times.
Do you have a script doctor?
Yeah, out of my deep abiding respect for Japanese culture, I am proposing a French version called Death Chamber The Reckoning. Directed by Ernest Cline, who gave us Who Are You, Polly Pagoo, and Mr. Freedom, because I feel like his style really meshes with this kind of a thing.
Not Ernest Cline from Ready Player One?
No.
With a K, man. With a K. Oh. Oh. Baby, why you got to do that? No. My version would be shot by Dante Spinotti. This would be an early 80s movie, so it'd be pretty.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, I figure you can get yourself a Jean-Paul Belmondo in there in places. He could play young. He can do that. I feel like he has that power, you know. Gonna go a little bit random with the cast. I want Heather Matarazzo, Abigail Breslin. Ernie Hudson is gonna be there. He's gonna be the president. Yes. There was no president in this version, but Ernie Hudson has to be the president. music would be by that band Television. My version would clock exactly 80 minutes, and the end credits would actually run over a scene. Oh, that's Death Chamber The Reckoning.
Yay.
Oh. Où est le poisson?
That's my favorite game. Dun dun. Dun dun.
I actually came up with a business instead of a movie. But you could still make it a movie, I guess, or an Animal Crossing crossover. So when you love playing games with gods, but you also enjoy a well-brewed cup of tea, where do you want to go but the Cat and Mouse Cafe? It's like in this, the survivors, Kosho and Takata, because Kosho deserved to live, they have teamed up hand in hand to bring the freshest brewed tea and treats. And while you're waiting on these treats to be made and your tea to be brewed, you can play life-ending games with people while you wait. Yes. It's a brew or die situation.
God damn it, Tony.
I was going somewhere with it.
Hashtag canceled Tony.
You already tried that.
That actually makes sense for tea because the Japanese word for tea, cha or ocha, if you want to be more formal, is seen as a heavenly beverage. So it is a drink of the gods.
Things are getting easy.
I do like Genmai cha.
Oh, Genmai cha is wonderful.
Our special guest, do you have a script doctor?
Oh, like there's so many things, like as a writer, there's so many things I would have done differently with this movie. I think there were some times where they put emphasis on things that I wasn't sure what they were going with. Like one of the things that Shun figures out is that each of the games starts with a specific syllable. So it's like, I like wrote it down. It was like Daruma,
like
and then Maneki, Neko, Kokeshi Shirokuma, and then the last one was the Matryoshka. Out of nowhere. And so it's like, and they brought that up as like, this is an important plot point reveal, but it was like, did it really matter? Yeah. Like, it was interesting, but I don't get why they made it into like this big reveal, like, aha, I figured it out, as if that would help you in any kind of way.
It's something that starts a red herring.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So there's like, and certain things with like how they were telling the story as far as like the cubes and things go, like I probably wouldn't have done it in media res even to start off with, like with just starting in the middle of the game. I'd want to see like a little bit of more intro to kind of figure out who all the main characters are, you know, and kind of get to know them for a bit.
Okay,
and then
so
see
the flashback scheme.
Yeah, it, the flashbacks just made so much like confusing shit happen. Yeah. Like I get why they did that, like, but on another hand, it's like, it just makes for a more confusing, like, story, and you leave feeling very, like, the games were finished to a certain degree, but you still don't know, one, why the games happened, two, who did the games, and, like, three, like, what, there's no real tease as to what's going to happen next for, like, a sequel. I mean,
keep saying the word cube here, and there's that independent film, you know, where they're going through the cube rooms, and you never know why the hell would get there, you know.
Honestly, when I saw I saw the floating cube, I really wanted them to be pyramids, because then we could talk about Kung Pao Enter the Fist.
Yes.
Oh.
Which would then tie into the France angle.
Kung Pao Enter the Fist, isn't that from the director of Never on Tuesday?
It also reminded me of another anime that I watched recently that's called Kado, which is about a bunch of people on an airplane, a Japanese airport, and a giant cube, an alien cube comes down and encases them, and then they have to deal with the aliens inside the cube.
They have to fight Zaram.
Which, so it's kind of like Kado and Battle Royale had a baby, and you get this movie.
I still strongly urge people to check out Gantz, because it's really an awesome story idea. And the fact that you get weapons and armor to go into all these missions you have to complete.
Yeah.
And, it's very awesome.
It's got a very good character like development as well. Like, you get really attached to all the people playing Gantz.
Yeah.
Now, is it a manga, or is it... I mean, I know it's a manga, but is it also like a movie or series? Or
you mean, is it something Westerners can enjoy and watch?
I think she's asking if it's live action.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know if it's like, because I know it's manga series, but I didn't know if it's like a animated series too or something, or movie.
It is a movie film intended for theaters.
Yeah,
I see.
He's good.
Okay. He's good.
So we learned to step on your friends.
Yeah, step on the back of strangers and you'll go far.
Yeah.
Even when he pushes the button.
Ta-ta!
The guy with the Cheeto crumbs in his beard is going
to take a popsicle.
The guy with Cheeto crumbs will save the world.
See, I wouldn't have died in that one because I wouldn't have taken one of those. I'd have been like, oh no, my tooths. Oh no, I can't.
That's what I was thinking though. Like, at this point, would I really trust them to give me a treat? Like, fuck that.
I mean, even if you don't take one, the last one in the bucket would be yours. So if everybody else took a treat, or otherwise I would assume they would hand them out or something. Like, they'd find some way to make you do it.
I'm not going to steal the fizzy lifting drink. The plant will be mine.
Yeah, it's like, why is God making them play all these games? Is he going to choose like the next person to run the games, and he wants someone who like fulfills all these? Well, he's an old guy.
And what does he need with a starship?
Yeah.
He's a big fan of Jefferson Starship. I figured in the American version, you'd have all those idiots that were out there, like, shooting their rifles and guns at the cube. Yeah.
I got it. Don't worry, America.
On me.
And they blow themselves up because it just bounces right off.
Would have been nice if they did, like,
other movies. I would love to see, like, different, like, locations if there were to be, like, more sequels to see, like, here's the movie in the U.S. Like, would it have, like, U.S.-centric games if it was in France? Would it have, like, traditional, like, French kids games? Like, it would be really interesting to see. What if it was in, like, a poorer country somewhere? Like, how would they handle that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see that. And, like, how...
See the Ethiopian version,
Yeah, like, how other people would handle it.
Kala?
Well, because obviously the dolls are going to be different, right? Huh?
I can't remember the guy's name. He was in, well, he was almost in a couple of fun movies. But the movie he did recently was really, really artsy-fartsy fun.
John Lennon.
The whole point, no. But the whole point was every time somebody asked him to do anything, he would just say, I'd rather not.
Bartleby movie. I read the book before.
It's like, I would just love if they had people playing the game do that. It's like, here, have an ice cream. It's like, I'd rather not. But it's yours.
That's always my tactic.
I'd rather not.
Popped out man.
Insist.
Well, I mean, to a point, wasn't what's his name, Amaya? Like, I mean, up in the beginning of the cat game, he was just, who the fuck knows where he was?
He was not participating.
He was watching it all very carefully. The cat had he was up in the rafters with his katana.
Probably.
We can only hope the cat, like the song, will come back.
Yep. The very next day. So, does anybody have anything else to say about the movie?
Okay.
There was this underlying, like, interesting sexual tension between Shun and Takeru Amaya. Like, you're kind of like, Does he like him? Like, he's like a homestuck thing. They have, like, this weird.
He likes some accent. Really. That's why it ended like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just like, I am fond of him. I like
hot sub broke his promise of letting that girl's hand go.
I like man meat. I mean, I'd like to see that version.
So you can find us burning in hell.
He did say that sometimes to love is to kill, or to kill is to love. So, I mean.
Just ask Wacy Peterson.
Yeah. Hey-o! So, with that, I will say please, please, please listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama, especially on Apple Podcasts, because it helps other people find us. It helps with the algorithm. So people, you know, it will boost us up to the top, which will make us easier to find. As of recording this right now, we have one review, and it's really sad, you guys. Come on. I mean, the review isn't sad, but the fact that we have one review is really sad.
Yeah, see if you can't review us. Yeah, you sissy.
Yeah.
Are you going to make Daruma cry?
No,
listen, my friend, if you think you're feeling strong, write a review. I'm just saying.
So yes, please, please, please give us a review, and it will earn you an on-air shout out. And also check out our stuff on YouTube, because if you're not already, then you can't see Donnie's weird ass dance. You can't see his
dance.
You can't see his Mr. Hyde
amazing eyebrows.
His eyebrows are on fleek.
You know, if you did that in blonde, you know who you'd be.
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep playing Guy Fieri.
On my way to Flavor Town.
Who's drive-ins and death games?
Give me that chili and curly fries and some pork. Give it to me.
She complained I didn't eat her out, but I told her that's the one thing I won't eat.
God damn it. it.
Welcome to Flavor Town, Danny, Johnny, and Dan.
And with that, but also you wouldn't be able to see our pretty little faces.
What is Mrs. Halverson?
Calm down. Sun's going down, big guy. remember, you can find Videorama on Twitter. You can visit our website at videoramapod.com. Or if that's too hard to remember, you could always go to cageskiss.com, and that will take you to the landing page where you could check out Cage's Kiss. You could check out my other podcast, Bedknobs and Broomflix. And you could check out us at Videorama. You could also check out Donnie's review corner. And you could also check out Adrian's awesome cage art there. And if you go to Twitter toward the end of the month, you can always take part in our poll to decide on the best recommendation that was presented this month. And that reminds me, we had the results, but guess who didn't get him? Okay, so good job, Linda. check out my other podcast about. Oh, also, I can't forget. You could also write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. But check out our Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod, because we have some really awesome stuff there. And at a certain level, you can be a guest on here. You could choose a movie or a theme for us. You could get an Adrian, sketch, and you get access to all our, bonus stuff, which we are actually planning our, October, one after this episode. So anywho, you can check out my other podcast about witches and history and stories of all media, Bedknobs and Broomflicks. That's Broomflicks. You know we're good because we got them licks at the end. also, you can now check me out in the second season of Four is a Crowd as Mrs. Halverson. Adrian.
Oh, I'm on the DeviantArt.com as Leo Fox, LeoTheFox, all lowercase, all run together, all one word. We'll be cooking up an issue of Dreadful Tales for Halloween. The Dreadful Tales magazine was born on Halloween, and we do that awesome old-style pulp fiction, like the style those that were popular between the 1840s and 1940. And yeah, big freaking issue coming there. Check it out. See if I care. I'm gonna have a story in there in my long-awaited story in my Rocket King and Green series about a comic book that drives people insane in early 20th century New York.
Doo-doo-doo. Oh lordy.
Oh yeah. I'm going to be turning 44.
Linda's going to turn
40. 40. Well, 40, 40 up, who's 40?
It's happening.
And you can find me in the back of an Arby's dumpster with all the raccoons. I'm also Unreal Goals on the Twitter. I also am the Wisdom in the Bottle thing on YouTube, which we have a surprise coming at the end of this month if I get my life and my shit together. And that's about where you can find me, except for wherever other popular VHS tapes are sold.
Hey, you could hear Donnie asking the raccoons, "You want to eat that?
Y'all gonna finish that?"
And the raccoon goes, "Not till I wash it."
Yeah, I'm gonna call you.
Seriously, think about that for a moment. That Arby's catchphrase now is, "We got the meats."
Yeah, there's a lot of things Arby's didn't think through so well.
Well, I think I knew exactly what they were doing.
I think so. Joni, can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and where the people can find you?
Yes, so I am Joni, otherwise known on the interwebs as Bubbly Oasis. You can find me on itch.io under Bubbly Oasis. I have started a zine called You Can Make Games. Yes, you listening, you can make video games or tabletop games or any other kind of games. I will prove it to you if you read my zine. I also make a whole bunch of other, like, random adventure games, and you can find me on Twitter as Bubbly Oasis as well. I'm usually somewhere playing D&D, chasing down velociraptors, or turning into a magical girl.
And you write, too.
And I write.
Yeah. Some awesome
Linda
stories.
Linda wrote an award-winning play, remember, Linda? But it was about that Irish lady.
Oh, God. That's not award-winning.
Love to hate the Irish. Yes. Don't get her started.
That's why Linda hangs out with Margaret Thatcher.
Let them eat potatoes.
Hey, potatoes are great.
Actually, I kind of want a potato right now.
Potatoes all day.
Eat some nice fresh fried taters.
No, I don't hate on the Irish. Thank you. Actually, I think we're part Irish. Anywho. Next week.
North America, so odds are pretty good.
Join us next week as I'll be hosting, and we'll be covering an all-new theme. Somebody's bound to call in for a recommendation. Would it be you? Until then, death to Videorama, long live the new flesh. And Donnie shot a kid.
And don't shove a Twinkie up your butt.
Except for science.
The object of the game is to find the object of the game.
I just lost the game.
Do you want to play a game?